Grace be unto you in peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The word of God that's the basis for our meditation this evening is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Roman Christians from chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. These other words. In the name of Jesus the Christ, the Good Shepherd, who laid down his life to save you from death, fellow redeemed in his blood. Do you remember your very first job outside the home for which you were paid a paycheck? I've worked many different jobs throughout my lifetime, but I'm pretty sure that the first paycheck that I ever earned was paid by Marquette County. For a time, I worked with the Marquette County Conservation Corps, cleaning up roots on cross-country ski trails and trimming the trees back from County Road 550, the Big Bay Road. It was fairly difficult physical work. And so on my first payday, I can remember marveling at the amount of money that I had earned. It was so much more than the $1 allowance my parents gave. What's more, the blisters on my hands proved that I had earned every single penny of that paycheck. It was all mine. Except for the amount taken by the government for Social Security that I hope someday to actually get back. My first paycheck and every other one I've earned since then is earned. Don't get me wrong, I appreciate the opportunity to work. I appreciate every paycheck, but I don't consider them to be gifts. They're earned. My employers owe me each paycheck as payment for my work and for my time. It is as the Apostle Paul would later write to the Christians in Rome. Now, to a person who works, his pay is not counted as a gift, but as something owed. We understand what our employer owes us, but does God owe us anything? I'm sure that there are some in our country today who imagine that God owes them a great many things, perhaps another stimulus check. Does God owe us life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? When we search the scriptures, we find that what God owes us for our work, we really don't want to get. May God the Holy Spirit bless our study of the Word of God so that we may return to our homes assured that the Good Shepherd has saved us from death. Amen. Businesses want to make money. And so they want us to buy their products. And in an effort to get us to do so, they develop catchy advertising slogans. Kentucky Fried Chicken is finger-licking good. Burger King says, have it your way. Arby's has the meats. And L'Oreal produces makeup, skin, and hair products because you're worth it. If today's society had its own ad slogan to distinguish it from every other age, it would be, we're owed. Politicians have capitalized on our entitled society. They chime in, you deserve free health care, free college, free food, free housing, free money. In some corners of our country, people actually believe that the government owes them their heart's desire. Would we be surprised to believe, to find, that some people believe God owes them too? After all, the government owes me for health care and college and food and housing. Doesn't God owe me heaven? Naturally, there are some preachers who want to capitalize on our entitlement society. And they say what people want to hear. God wants you to be happy. God loves you and accepts you, whatever your sexual orientation. If you're a good person, God will accept you, even reward you. Of course, God is love, and He does want you to be happy, but not if it means defying His will as revealed in His law. If living in sin makes you happy, be assured that it does not make Him happy. God is love, but also He is just. And He's declared in His word that sexual sin will earn His judgment, just as much as will lust and greed and every other sin. God is love, but try as we might, we cannot be perfect and sinless and earn a place in heaven. But you know all that. No matter what some religious people say today, God's report card is bad when it comes to humanity. Even if God were to grade on a curve, it really wouldn't matter because we're all guilty. Listen carefully to His report card. None is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. What does God owe us? You've heard His evaluation. Do you really want to know what He owes us? Okay. He owes us death. God told Adam and Eve what they would earn if they disobeyed Him and ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the Garden of Eden. He told them, in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. That's what you're going to earn for yourself. Death. God told His people through the prophet Ezekiel what sin earned for each one of them individually when He said, the soul who sins shall die. The Son shall not suffer for the iniquity of the Father, nor the Father suffer for the iniquity of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. So, if God were to draft a paycheck today and issue it to us, what He owes us, it would say on the memo line, death. For if we've truly earned anything in our lifetimes, it's this. For the wages of sin is death. What makes it worse is that we can't make up for it. We can't make things right. We can't change it. There's no point in each of us promising to do better or to be better people. You know, Martin Luther tried that. He actually beat himself in an effort of trying to rid himself of sinful thoughts. You think it worked? Nope. It couldn't. Our sin engine is still up and running. Even if we could stop sinning, we can't make up for what we've done. In breaking God's law, even once, and I'm pretty sure we've done it more than once, we've sealed our fate forever. For when it says the wages of sin is death, it isn't only talking about temporal death and the grave, but eternal death. Eternal separation from God and His goodness forever in hell. Which is why I'm supremely thankful that this Bible passage doesn't end with the word death. But what follows doesn't say anything about what God owes us. It doesn't say anything about our earning a thing or our being deserving. It speaks only of the gracious intervention of our God. For while we have earned death, God has freely given to us what we don't deserve. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The second half of that passage, we boil it down to a single word. We say, that's grace, which we define a couple of different ways. The most familiar, God's undeserved love, right? Some people take that word grace and make it into an acronym. God's riches at Christ's expense. Whichever you prefer, don't ever forget that grace is a quality in God, not in you or I. It was God's grace, His loving heart, that determined to give us what we need rather than what we're owed. But how could a just and holy God not give us what we're owed? What justice demanded, grace provided. Instead of demanding of us death, grace determined to demand it of Christ. And so the Son of God entered the human race. Born of a woman, lived perfectly under God's law as our substitute, perfectly keeping and fulfilling it in every detail. On the Mount of Transfiguration, the Father spoke from the cloud, confirming it, when He said that He was well pleased with His Son and with His perfect life. And so Jesus earned what we needed: righteousness, perfection. But He didn't stop there. He also offered up His own life as the perfect sacrifice to make up for every human sin. And the Father also accepted that sacrifice and raised Christ from the dead to prove it. So the Apostle Paul could write again to the Roman Christians that Christ was delivered up for our offenses and raised again for our justification. This was all done so that God could give to us a gift, not give to us what He owed us, but the perfect gift. And in this passage, perhaps you notice that this perfect gift is the opposite of what we're owed. We're owed death. But God gives us His eternal life. It's a gift to us, freely and graciously given. That's actually what it means. So when we speak to others about it, perhaps we should say it just that way. Instead of just talking about things like being right with God, being justified, being forgiven, having eternal life, perhaps we should always preface it with the words, the free gift of being declared not guilty. The free gift of the forgiveness of sins. The free gift of eternal life, because that's what it is to us. A free gift, not something we're owed. While free to us, the price tag on this gift could only be paid by one person, and He paid the debt in full. Which is why we dedicate this time of year, every year, to return to Calvary and to watch in wonder as our sin debt and the death we earned is paid for with the blood of Jesus. But it's just like we sang at His birth in the Christmas hymn. See how God for us providing gave His Son and life abiding. He our weary steps is guiding from earth's woe to heavenly joy. Christ from heaven to us descending and in love our race befriending. In our need, His help extending, saved us from the wily foe. From the bondage that oppressed us, from sin's fetters that possessed us, from the grief that sore distressed us, we the captives now are free. Free! Because He saved us from death. Amen. And the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.